This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
Before we jump into that interview, quickly, you can text in on 0427 Joy949 or you can email onair@joy.org.au if you've got any questions, queries, just about our technical side of putting this show together.
Yeah. If you have any observations too about the panel operator and how they're handling things, hey, Nick, is there maybe a thing that's coming up that I might have accidentally interrupted?
In federal politics, the debate around religious freedom has continued to simmer away. The Attorney General, Christian Porter, has been consulting with government backbenchers and other stakeholders. Toby Halligan spoke to the first openly gay man in the House of Representatives, Liberal MP Trent Zimmerman, about his take on the push for religious freedom and what we can expect from the government's legislation. Toby began by asking what the government's new laws could look like.
I guess what I'd be interested in finding out from you is when you speak to constituents, whether they're people in your electorate or other people, what kinds of concerns do they express about religious freedom being impinged upon? What are kind of some of the examples that they give you?
Well, I think the first thing to be said is that I don't think that Australia has the same type of problems with religious persecution that we see in other parts of the world, and that reflects the fact that we are a vibrant liberal democracy. So we can be very proud of the fact that people are able to practice their religious beliefs in Australia largely without hindrance. But I think this has emerged for two reasons. Firstly, there are some in our community that do believe that their religious views are increasingly under pressure, but also I think we've also seen on the fringes of Australian society the growth of some extremist organisations, which is probably best represented by some of the views that former Senator Fraser Anning was expressing about people of different religious backgrounds. So within my own community, I get that mix of views, but also it's fair to say some people who wonder whether the issue is as great as some have claimed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because I think there is a sense from I speak to a lot of people in the LGBTIQ+ community. I've been speaking to quite a few religious people as well in the lead up to this week's episode of The Informer, which is focused on religious freedom. And I think there is this sense of exhaustion from most people around these culture war style debates where it seems as if we focus in on the divisions or areas where there are clashes, but that in a way don't actually grapple with a lot of the very real problems that all Australians are kind of, you know, dealing with. And there are definitely areas where, you know, I'm sure religious freedom in Australia is more of an issue, but I don't get the sense that's necessarily amongst Christians, certainly not Christians with substantial public profiles. Do you feel like, I guess, what would you like to see out of this religious freedom debate? Because it looks like the Attorney General will be introducing legislation in the next couple of weeks. What would you like to see in that legislation?
Well, I'm very supportive and comfortable with the path that Christian Porter is heading down, which is essentially to match our existing anti-discrimination laws with one which would prevent discrimination on the grounds of religious belief. And I think it's a very hard proposition to argue against to say that we should have legal protections that say you cannot discriminate against a person because of what they happen to believe. It is very central to a society like ours that your freedom of belief and conscience is something that's respected. And so that type of legislation that mirrors our other anti-discrimination legislation, I think, is perfectly reasonable and fair.
And do you see a place for religious exemptions? That was a debate that was happening before the budget, really, that kind of got parked for various reasons. Do you think is that likely to be dealt with either as part of this legislation or in the near future?
It won't be dealt with as part of this legislation because the issue, which primarily relates to educational institutions, schools and for the matter of higher educational institutions, it has been referred to the Australian Law Reform Commission for its views, and it will report back to governments in April next year. So that's when I think that we will deal with that issue, and it is an important one because I think most certainly accept that it's not healthy that a school could, for example, theoretically expel a student because they happen to be gay. And so we will deal with that in 2020. And the good thing about that review is it's not just looking at the federal legislation, but also state legislation as well, because we are in an area where there is a crossover of legislation at both the Commonwealth and the state level.
I understand as part of the in the lead up to Christian Porter developing this legislation, my understanding is that a number of different groups are being consulted. Are LGBTI groups part of that consultation? I just know that a number have raised the issue that they have been asking for meetings but don't appear to be being consulted in a formal way.
My understanding is, yes, that's certainly the case, and I've been working with, for example, Equality Australia, and I know that they're having conversations with the Attorney General's office. In terms of the current process, the Attorney General has basically set up a consultation process within the government as his first priority following the election, and once that's concluded in the next couple of weeks, then consultation with civil society players, including organisations like Equality Australia, will take place in earnest. But that consultation has already commenced, and I understand it's been quite constructive.
Yeah, that's great. Do you mind me asking, how does are you a man of faith? Is it something that's part of your worldview?
Well, I grew up in a in what I would describe as a Christian family, and I think Christian Judeo-Christian values are part of my liberal values. But I wouldn't describe myself as a religious person.
Yeah, because it's interesting because I'm actually kind of quite similar. I grew up in a household that was quite Anglican, went to an Anglican school, etc. So I actually have sympathy for quite a few of the underlying values that make up the core frameworks of Christianity, and it's odd finding myself. I feel like the way these culture war style debates position people is that LGBTIQ people seem to be positioned often by sections of the media on one side, and religious people are kind of on another side. How do we break down those kinds of that division, if you like? Because it seems like when I talk to a lot of people, we all kind of find it unproductive and a bit exhausting.
Look, I agree with that, and I think most of us are exhausted by the whole Israel-Falau debate, to be perfectly honest. But I think that change is happening, and I just think of the changes that have happened in my own lifetime, but which was best characterised by that overwhelming vote for marriage equality in the Australian community. If I think back 10, 20 years ago, would I have expected that outcome? The answer is probably no. So I think that as a society, we have progressed in leaps and bounds. And I think that will continue. And it's based fundamentally, firstly, I think, obviously, on greater respect for each other. And that's a very positive thing. And it's certainly very consistent with the values that I was taught in my own family and at my own school, which was a Uniting Church school. And that's why I think that the central message of the Christian Gospels is actually quite a liberal and respectful one. So so I think that it is actually translating that message into where we want society to be today and having that conversation with the broader community.
Yeah, absolutely. Just one or two final questions. Obviously, as you were saying, there's been a lot of progress in a number of areas in terms of LGBTIQ rights at a federal level. Where are you hoping to? Are there issues that you're looking to raise during this term of government? Are there areas where you're hoping to see reform or change in terms of LGBTIQ rights?
Well, I think that what we do in relation to some of those exemptions that we've talked about in relation to educational institutions will be important. I think there's also further work that's currently being undertaken in relation to how we're responding to the trans community and to the intersex community that is going to be important for the government to be looking at. And from a broader perspective, one of the exciting opportunities I think we have from a health perspective is really trying to make the goal of eliminating the transmission of HIV a reality. And obviously things like the decision to list PrEP have been an important part of that, and hopefully that will continue with the excellent work that organisations like AFAO are currently doing.
Absolutely. Trent, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.